Now, don't get me wrong, these are not words to make anyone feel down on themselves. We're all in this together. Although I truly hope, that all of us are going to do a little reflecting this week. I really hope you'll look in the mirror and you'll look deep into your eyes and you'll say, what does my lifestyle reflect not only about my life, but about everybody else who attends worship with me, about all the other Christians in the world? What does that say? What does my lifestyle say? These words are saying that God felt you and I were important enough that Jesus died on the cross. You know the old saying, if you were the only one left in the world, Jesus would have still died for you? That is so true. That is so true. God felt you and I were important enough that Jesus died on the cross for you. You see, Jesus wants us to spread that joy and that hope that we have been given. Jesus wants us to give that love away that each of us has in our soul. When we claim to be followers of Jesus, we have that love and that joy in our soul. We may not have a great day every day, right? We may not have a great week or maybe even a great month, right? Or maybe the year wasn't quite as good as I had hoped it would be, right? But we have that joy that God gives us because of what we believe in Jesus Christ and who He was and what He did for us and why Jesus did it for us. You see, Jesus wants us to give that love away. Jesus wants us to give our lives and our time and our money to those who are less fortunate. Jesus wants us and our lives to reflect what we say we believe. Remember the question I asked you last week? Do you really believe what you believe? Do you really believe what you believe? You see, what if we're living life upside down? What if we're living life upside down? You see, Jesus wants us to turn this world's values on their heads and serve instead of being served, to live what we claim we believe, to teach people what it means to love each other, to bring healing and hope in Jesus' name to people who have none. Well, Eric, I don't know anybody that doesn't have hope. Oh, boy. You got to open up your ears. I bet you there's a person sitting right next to you every day, or walking down the street, or living next to you that needs the hope that you have. A true story is told by Philip Anderson about his sister. Not long ago, I visited my sister, a director of patient services for the children's unit of a large Southern California hospital. She was conducting me on a tour through that unit. All the time, echoing through the halls, we would hear the cry of a baby coming from one of the rooms. Finally, we came to that particular room. It was a little child about a year old, covered with terrible bruises and scratches and scars from head to toe. Anderson continues, "At first, I assumed the child must have been involved in a terrible accident. Then I looked closely at its legs. Written in ink all over them were obscenities. My sister told me the child was the victim not of an accident, but of its parents. Its internal injuries were so severe that it couldn't keep any food down. The scars on the bottom of its feet were burns caused by cigarettes. If you've ever had trouble visualizing the consequences of human indifference, the perversion of life's basic relationships, what God and we are up against in this world of ours, I wish you could have looked with me at that battered, crying baby," Anderson said. "But I want to tell you what happened then. My sister leaned over the crib and very carefully and tenderly picked up that child and held it next to herself. At first, the child screamed all the more as if the innocent nature had come to be suspicious of every touch. But as she held it securely and warmly, the baby slowly began to quiet down. And finally, in spite of wounds and hurts, the past experience that it had, it felt the need to cry no more. Anderson closes by saying, "The baby remains in my memory as a living symbol of the choice we face as Christians.